I've been preaching a series on Matthew over at Oak Hills Church, and we've been preaching from the Sermon on the Mount. And I'd like to have you focus your attention this morning on Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, that's page 787 in your the Bibles in your seats there. We had some slides and some inserts that you could follow along on, but apparently somehow they didn't make it. And so we're going to do it the good old-fashioned way, which is just listen and focus, and you may want to take some notes and invite you to keep your scripture open while we're doing that. As we prepare to hear God's word this morning, this really needs to be in context, because we're kind of stepping into the middle of a sermon, okay? And the way Jesus starts his sermon out is so much like what we just experienced in worship. We call them the Beatitudes, where Jesus literally, before he says one word about what his hopes and dreams are for us in terms of how our lives are going to turn out, the very first things he says is, I want to pour my blessing on you. And I want to fill your life with blessing. That's how much I love you. That's how the sermon starts. And that's how our worship has started. And then Jesus eases us in this sermon into what we have come to know as the Lord's Prayer. And you know how it starts. Our Father, who art in heaven. What Jesus is saying here is, hey folks, this isn't just about me, but this is about us. When you meet me, you meet my Father. And when I'm talking with you, I need you to know that my Father is right alongside of me, which means he is right alongside of you. We make a great team. Pastor Lou spoke about that yesterday at our classes devotional, about how we are one with our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's in that context that we need to now hear this word, which begins in Matthew chapter 6 at verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. As a pastor, perhaps you may wonder whether or not I or your pastor have any worries. But let me assure you this morning that I have some worries. And so this passage is speaking to me. For example, I am worried about Sam and Peggy and Earl, three individuals in our congregation whose life is kind of hanging on the balance. One of them is almost 99 years old. And so you kind of expect that, but health-wise, he might be the best of the three. But I'm worried about them. I'm worried about our kids and our youth. Worried about how they're growing up in the kind of world that they're growing up in, and whether or not they're getting the kind of care that they need. I worry about that. I worry about how they're coming to know Jesus and how they're beginning to learn to walk with Him. I was worried a couple weeks ago about some of my friends in Southern California who were experiencing some significant floods. Something they hadn't experienced in a long, long time. I've been worried about my dear friend and missionary colleague, A.V. Smith, who works for World Missions in Mali, West Africa. And the security there has been so-so. And so I'm a bit worried, not just for her, but also for her partners. For those who are farther out in some of the areas that are far less secure and who have to live there every day with their families. I'm worried about refugees and people who don't have a place to call home. Not just those who are fleeing Syria, but sometimes those within our own extended communities. I was worried this week whether or not I was going to be able to finish my work. My wife and I are in the process of moving out of our home for 4 months while it's being remodeled. And so we've been frantically packing. And later this afternoon, we have some young men with strong backs who are going to come, and they're going to help us finish that move. And I've been worried this week how all of that is going to come together, and if it will. It already hasn't turned out quite the way we thought it would. I worry about kids that don't have families, and I worry about kids who live in hostile families. I'm worried about our country. Some of the feelings of division that just kind of continue to fester. So what worries you? What is it that kind of wakes you up in the middle of the night and you wonder how things are going to turn out? What is it that's been sort of that nagging thing that you don't wake up from, but when you are awake, it still kind of haunts you in the back of your mind and you just can't get away from it? But it's always there because you're worried about it. Now remember, as we're listening to this message, Jesus and His Father are standing right next to us. And Jesus says, you know, that's not how the Father and I planned for you guys to live. There's a better way to live. We are here to provide that way of life for you if you will but listen and follow. Jesus knew His disciples were worried, and He knows that we will continue to worry. There are things that sort of continue to creep into our lives, and Jesus says, there's a way to address that, and I want you to know that, and I want you to share that better way of living. Which leads us to the challenge that Jesus gives to His disciples and to us. I call it the challenge to trust. To place our absolute confidence in Jesus Christ and all that His Father, who is also our Father, will provide for us. But here's what gets in the way of that trust. We get concerned about how things are going to turn out tomorrow. And so already today, we get tangled up in tomorrow's worries. I want you to think about that. Already today, our lives get tangled up in worries about tomorrow. And what happens when you become consumed with worry, when it always becomes a part of your life, is that it interferes with your life and begins to take your level of health down, down, down. Those who study these things tell us that worry interferes with our appetite. It changes our lifestyle habits. It affects our relationships. It changes how we sleep and how we work. As a matter of fact, if worry continues to breed stress in your life, it will slowly but certainly whittle away your health. Not just your physical health, but also your emotional health, and most certainly, as Jesus is indicating, your spiritual health. And so that's why in verse 27, Jesus says it pretty plain and pretty clearly. He simply says it this way: worry doesn't work. This doesn't work. Who of you can change anything about tomorrow? Who of you can add life, whether it's a day, a week, or a year? My friend Earl, who's going to turn 99, and he can't hardly wait for it, if his body will stay there, he can't hardly wait to get to 99, and yet every single day, as he struggles with his health, he knows he cannot change that one iota. And neither can you. Worry simply doesn't work. And because it doesn't work, Jesus gives us two specific commands here. The first one is in verse 31, where he says, "So do not worry." And again in verse 34a, "Therefore, do not worry." And the way Jesus says that makes it clear and explicit that his command to us is to stop worrying. I want that to echo in your mind. So you're not hearing it from me, but you're hearing it from Jesus and his Father standing right next to him. And when worry begins to creep into your life, he's just going to simply say, "Stop it. Stop it. It doesn't work." But he says it very, very tenderly, because that's not the final word. You and I know that when you have to stop habits that aren't really good, it takes more than somebody standing next to you saying, "Stop it." No, Jesus says, "I'm here with you, but I want you to remember the Father, your Father. He's my Father, but because he's my Father, I'm taking you into our family, and our Father has an incredible way of knowing exactly what you need in your life, and he has all the resources in the universe to be able to help you and provide for you so that you don't have to worry. Remember your Father." Somebody once asked me, "So how do I stop worrying?" I said, "Remember your Father. Remember your Father. Go to your Father who already knows what you need. He's your Father in Jesus Christ. He's the one about whom Jesus says in verse 25, 'Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life.'" Now that's a different "don't worry." It's the very first command up in verse 25, but it's preceded by that little word, "therefore." Did you notice that? "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry." Now, this "do not worry" is not a "stop it" kind of command. This is a command in which Jesus is saying the life of discipleship, of following and living with my Father, is such that we don't want you ever to have a worry that you're holding on to in your life. Because that we are there right with you. So this walk of discipleship, not just today, but the next day and the next and the next, it is a lifestyle in which we are asking and telling and providing for you to say, "You don't have to worry ever." What a beautiful way for Jesus to say that. I still, it almost gives me goosebumps because Jesus knows that there's a better way and he wants us to share that with his Father. The question is then, can we take Jesus' word and live it out? Can we take Jesus' word that the Father already knows? That when we ask him, not just to take our worry away, but about what is worrying us, that he already knows and cares deeply and loves us? Can we trust Jesus and take him at his word? Now, I want you to consider the alternative. And you know what the alternative is, right? The alternative is this. You don't have Jesus standing next to you. You don't have the Father standing on the other side of you. It's just you all by yourself. You're in charge of your life. It's up to you. And if you want to play life that way, then you'll have to seize the moment. You'll have to be responsible for everything in your life, and you'll have to make sure that you handle all of the worry by yourself and make sure that your life turns out just as well as you want it to be. And Jesus says, there's a lot of people who are living like that, and it's not really working. But for his followers who are standing right next side of him, he says that there's something else I want you to understand about this. If you think that you're in charge of your life, if you can handle it all by yourself, he says, because it really can't work that way. You can't go two directions in the same time. Yeah, you really want to have God in your life, don't you? But yet what worry says is, I'll still be in charge of my life. God, I want you to be a part of it, but I kind of want to be in charge of a good deal of it. You see, when you try to live your life that way, then you are playing with idols. And you yourself have invented those idols. And you're the person who's in charge of those idols. Sometimes they're your ingenuity. Sometimes they're your bank account, trying to make sure that you have enough money to keep those worries at bay. Sometimes it's your friends who you think can always get you out of a jam. Whatever it is. What does Jesus say? You can't serve two masters. You can't go two different directions. It's either Jesus and his Father with everything, or you're going to try to play the two off against each other. So Jesus doesn't just suggest that trusting his Father to provide all that we need is easier. No, he's saying the same thing here that he does about worries, and that is, for you to be in charge, for you to play with idols, is not going to work. It simply will not work. And yet, Jesus says, look around you. There's birds and flowers that are well taken care of, and your Father, as much as he loves that part of his creation, loves you even so much more. He will take care of you. He will provide you. Your Father loves you so much. He loves you as much as I do. And he loves you like he loves me. You cannot be loved by the Father unless that love flows through Jesus. So know that the Father loves you as much as he loves his very own Son, Jesus. Now that's an incredible thought. That's an incredible richness to begin to take into your life. But now, Jesus takes a little bit of twist that we have to touch on. He doesn't just say, I want you to take the challenge and trust in me. But he says, I also want you to do that by taking care of today. Because as Jesus says, every day has enough trouble of its own. I like it when he says that. You know why? Because Jesus is a realist. He knows your and my life inside out and backwards. He knows what I'm worried about. And he knows what you're worried about. So up to this point, things have been going pretty well, have they not? Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. That sounds great. I mean, everything in this passage sounds like, wow, I would love to live that way. Until you get to today, Jesus says, this is a great life. Besides, every day has enough trouble of its own. It's like, what? Why does Jesus say that? Well, number one, because he knows our life has trouble. Jesus here is not talking about the great big troubles like he says in the Lord's Prayer when he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's not that kind of trouble he's talking about. The kind of trouble Jesus is talking about here is when things simply don't go very well. You ever had a bad day? Laid out a plan? Didn't turn out the way you had hoped it would. Those things that creep into your life that are more of a nuisance and a frustration than anything else. You ever have those days where you feel kind of harried or distracted and you're not accomplishing what you had hoped to do? That's the kind of trouble that Jesus is talking about, which for most of us sounds like a pretty normal day. You see, Jesus points us to those everyday troubles, and he says, today, in the midst of that, is exactly where I want you to be trusting your Father. That's where it happens. Trust your Father from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. That's easy when everything's going well, but I want you to trust our Father through today's troubles. You see, that's what we struggle with. It's hard to trust when things don't seem to be going very well. And that's when Jesus teaches us once again to cry out, our Father in heaven. Because it's hard to trust in the middle of our troubles. Jesus says, don't panic and don't worry your day away, but instead, go to your Father. He's right there. He already knows what you need. That's what I like about the Apostle Paul, who picked up, I think, on that very thought in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And this is what he says, do not be anxious about anything. Or a better way to say that would be, if you find yourself becoming anxious, don't stay there. There's a better way. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. The Son and the Father standing there right along with you. And Jesus says that's the kingdom way of how we can handle our troubles. You noticed when Jesus says this, right? When do you handle today's troubles? He tells us right after he said, I want you to make your priority every single day. Number one priority is to seek the Father's kingdom and to do what's right and pleasing to him. And he says in that context, then, you'll be able to deal with the troubles that creep into your day every single day. He wants us to shift our heart's attention to seeking that kingdom priority. So if you and I would take a look at our day and approach every little trouble as not a nuisance, but as a kingdom opportunity, an opportunity to serve God and to trust Him through it, I think we would see those interruptions as not just interruptions, but perhaps as an opportunity to show mercy to someone who really needs it. Or when you have to brush your child's hair and you're getting late for school and you're frustrated by that, perhaps you should look at the hairs of your child's head the same way the father does and give thanks for him or her. It's the kingdom way. Or maybe when in the midst of all of your sheer busyness, you wonder what you're accomplishing and you need to trust that the Father and the Son are using you to make a difference in the lives of other people. And when the laundry's piling up and the meetings just seem to go on unending, when the shuttle needs to happen and the texts and emails are flying, it's then that you remember, who am I? I'm a child of God. I'm an agent of the kingdom of God. I am serving God Himself, and the Son is standing next to me, and the Father are standing next to me, and in that situation, I cannot fail. I have nothing to worry about. You see, if you're going to wait for the perfect day to serve God or to seek the kingdom or to know the Father's care, it'll never happen. Because we don't have perfect days. We only have days where God is on every side of us. And it's in those days that the Father sees the challenges that we already face, and He invites us to pray through them with brand new eyes and to discover that in those troubles is the very kingdom of God waiting to be displayed. You see, you don't have to break your routine to serve the kingdom of God. You simply need to recognize that the kingdom of God is right there in the details of every single day, exactly in the middle of it. And then if you're serving in that kingdom kind of way, you won't have time to worry because you will be busy praising and thanking God for the way that He's directing and providing and supporting and encouraging you. And Jesus prays that kind of prayer, and He leads us in that kind of way because He wants us to experience that kind of grace and that kind of peace. May that be yours in Jesus. Let's pray. Good and loving God, gracious Father, in Jesus we know that the paths of your children, each and every one of us, all take places that can frighten us and discourage us. Make your presence real to us today and each day. And at every time and every circumstance, help us to remember that your blessing surrounds us. And in that, we rejoice through Jesus. Amen.